The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, January 27th, 2013. This is John Schulte. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're listening live, welcome. If you're listening to the recording, welcome. It's a good day. At least for me it is. I hope it is for you. And before we jump into the topic today, as always, let's take a few moments, a few minutes, and get connected. Get connected more deeply into ourselves and with each other and with the spiritual, well, support that we have. So as we begin, of course, let's go into the self. Open to allow your own divinity, your own mastery, your own power to come forth. Always feels good to allow that to happen. Allow your divinity to fill your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, and your entire energy field. And then allow that essence of you to flow out into all of your relationships. Bringing more divinity into each of those relationships. Both the ones that are at the forefront of your consciousness and awareness, the ones you spend the most time in, and the ones that are in the background, that don't come forth to the front quite as often. Allow your divinity to flow into each one. Because your relationships don't just exist when you are focused on them. They exist all of the time. And that is the essence of what we follow this first opening with, which is connecting into other relationships, bringing them more to the forefront of our awareness, and expanding how much we allow them to be present with us. So, to start with, we go to our Mother Earth, opening up to receive her love and support, allowing that energy to fill us physically, emotionally, and mentally, allowing it to flow throughout our entire energy field. And allowing that sense of groundedness that comes with and through our connection with our Mother Earth, allowing that sense of groundedness to flow out into our relationships as well, enabling us to be more present with them when they are the relationship that's at the forefront, when they do come forward, to be active in our conscious experience. And as we allow that energy from our Mother Earth to continue to flow into us, allow your own gratitude for being in the body, for being in this life, to flow back to her. And if you're ready, if you're able, allow yourself to feel the increase in the amount of energy from her that you're able to receive as you offer her your gratitude. And allow yourself to connect with all that you love about being in body. This isn't time for what you moan about, what you bitch about, what you might complain about. This is time for what you love, and allow that feeling of love to be shared with her as well. Flowing down to her along with your gratitude. And once more, to whatever degree you're ready and able at this moment, allow yourself to feel that as you share that love, more space opens up for you to receive her love and support into you. All right. And knowing that these connections with our inner divinity, with our truth, with our mastery, and with our Mother Earth will remain open and flowing throughout the time we spend here together, allow yourself now to focus on opening up to the connections with your divine support team, the angels and guides, masters, teachers, spiritual mentors who are not in body right now and yet who are here supporting you as you are in body. And once more, opening up to receive their love and support. And open up in whatever way works best for you. Some, it works best through the heart. Some, it works best through the crown. Others, it might work best in some other way. Some people have a specific signal, a particular part of the body that they feel specific sensation in when they are being actively touched, actively guided. They've opened up into that kind of support. So whatever works for you, open to expanding your awareness of their love and support throughout your being, physically, emotionally, and mentally. Allowing it to flow throughout your energy field and ultimately out into your relationships. Bringing that higher dimension to that groundedness brought by Mother Earth. That sense of reaching for the stars, reaching for the highest potential in yourself and in the other, whoever that might that other might be in every relationship. Allow yourself to seek and to open and to share at the highest level possible. And once more, connecting with that energy of gratitude for this support, allow that gratitude to flow out to all of these beings who are ready, willing, and able to support you in everything, in every moment of your life. And again, connect with your feelings of love. What do you love about being alive? And let that love flow to these beings as well. And feel yourself open as you do that, to whatever degree you're able to open to feel it. All right. And now we move a little closer to home, perhaps, for those of you who join on a regular basis. I hope that you feel at home here as we go about this exploring how to expose our divinity, our mastery. But this is about connecting with this community, expanding that connection, expanding our conscious awareness of it. And so again, opening yourself in whatever way works best for you. Maybe it's through your third eye or your crown. Maybe it's through your ears. Opening up through the shared sound waves. But opening up to receive the energy of shared intention, the intention that brings us together here to expand in our experience of our divinity, of our experience of our mastery, to expand in expressing that as well. And allow yourself to tap into that energy, that mass consciousness of willingness, of desire to open, and of willingness and desire to whatever degree to be of support to each other as we walk our individual paths of awakening. We are not alone. These connections are here, whether you're listening to this program or not. That energy of this intention is always there, always waiting, always available. And so as you open into that and allow that to be part of your experience in this moment, physically, emotionally, mentally, throughout your energy field, and again, even into all of your relationships, once more lifting those relationships to a higher octave, a higher dimension, a higher vibration, a higher intention. And letting yourself feel that flow. And feeling as well that your desire and your intention to move in this way, join, allow that energy of your intention and your desire joins with the rest of us, joins with this community to create something larger than any of us that can support each of us. And feel that energy being shared. And any gratitude you might have for this community, for this opportunity to come together, allow that to flow out into that community as well, empowering and strengthening it. Wonderful. And knowing again that these connections with our divine out-of-body support team and our divine in-body support team, each other, knowing that these connections will remain open as long as we are sharing here today and will remain present whether we're aware of them or not, whether they recede to the background or not, they're always there. So we continue on and we open up to that connection, which is the connection of our flesh, the connection to all of humanity. And again, knowing that each person has a desire for things to be better, has a desire for improvement, has a desire, whether they could put their finger on it or whether they could say it in these terms, has a desire for greater empowerment in their own lives. And that underlies all of human interaction. Sometimes it gets twisted in ways that don't look at all like that, but that's what it's about. We desire to know our value. We desire to come into our power. We desire to express ourselves. And that is a massive bit of mass consciousness underpinning human experience. And so we tap into that. We tap into that energy of desire and intention for improvement. And we allow the vitality of that to fill us, to feed us even more energy, so that we are better able to step forward into that empowerment, so that we feel better able to do that, so that we, individually and collectively, can shift into our mastery. One more step today. One more step this moment. And allow yourself to feel that vitality of that intention, that shared desire flowing through you physically, emotionally, and mentally. And knowing that that will remain open, we open to that subset of humanity that is larger than the community of exposing the masters within, yet smaller than all of humanity, the community of conscious light workers, those who are consciously seeking, as we are, to step into empowerment on one of the infinite pathways possible. Infinite, only limited by the number of souls that are actually doing it. Each one of us has our own pathway. Our each of our paths are unique. And yet they all share this common intention, this common desire, this common willingness to step outside of the known into something more, into the desired to be known, the desired to be experienced, the desired to be lived, which is what our mastery is. And so we step into that and connect with that mass consciousness energy, and we allow that to flow into us physically, emotionally, and mentally. We can ride it like a surfer on a wave as we learn to connect with that and flow it through us. Again, it gives us another dose of support physically, emotionally, mentally, and throughout our field. And that brings us another way to feel that flow in all of our relationships. Because each one, each human, every person that we come in contact with has an inner desire for things to be better. And those who are a little more consciously aware perhaps have this desire not only for things to be better, but for the underpinning of that betterment. They have the knowledge and the desire and the drive and the movement towards self-empowerment. I love doing this. It always feels to me like eating an energy banquet. So much is there. So much to connect with. So much to open into. So much to receive. And as we go forward out of that banquet into what I think is today's topic, or at least the beginning of today's topic, we're going to shift gears, and you might even feel like the gears are grinding in the car a little bit, because the word that came in this morning, the word that came in meditation earlier as the guidepost for starting out here today, was fractured, broken. And in a sense, more than just a clean break in a bone, the energy with it when it came in for me was the energy of shattered. And so to begin the exploration of fracturedness, I'd like to touch upon one of the great metaphysical works of all time. At least it came to me earlier today that it's a great metaphysical work. It's something that each one of us in this culture, almost everyone of us, knows. It's just in the background. I certainly do not remember where I first heard it or when. I certainly have not looked at it as metaphysical before today. It's very short. You probably know the words. You can say them along with me. And it has one main character and several, supporting characters. And it goes something like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Now, the metaphysics of Humpty Dumpty. Now, I'm sure there's lots of different ways to analyze this. For those of you who have an English degree like I do, you could probably cut this in many ways. You could probably fracture it in many ways to get at the yolk inside. And I'm not going to pretend to go into every possible interpretation of Humpty Dumpty. And yet, I think there's a lot for us here. Because after it came in, and I just kind of put up my one eyebrow the way I do when I'm not certain what the heck they're getting at, it occurred to me that this is a pretty nice metaphor for what we're experiencing down here in some pretty profound ways. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Well, when I think metaphorically or energetically of a wall, I think of a block. I think of a divider. I think of separation. And we're sitting on it, sitting on it. You know the phrase, on the fence? Don't know which way to go. Don't know whether to go this way or that way. Which is it? And, you know, although there might be, you know, the thriller version of Humpty Dumpty with the question of who pushed Humpty Dumpty, kind of like who shot JR, I like to think that it was Humpty's indecision that caused him to fall. He started to go one way and then thought, no, the grass is greener on the other side, and got his foot caught and down he tumbled. And that was the great fall. And yet the great fall also brings out the stories, the multitudinous stories of the fall of man out of the Garden of Eden, the fall from grace. Humpty, although he's a good egg, was not a sphere. He was an egg, a little lopsided, so to speak, from just a sphere. And he couldn't balance well. It's an oddity. I don't know if it's true. I've been told it's true. That it's on the equinoxes. That's the 2 days out of the year. That it's possible to balance an egg on its end. And it'll stay upright. The rest of the time, it just falls over. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of serves a purpose here in this moment. In that, if we're sitting on a wall, we're trying to maintain our balance. But trying to maintain our balance when we are feeling blocked, trying to maintain our balance in keeping things separate from each other, doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so we're bound to fall because we're not here to just sit on that wall. We're here to move. You know, another vision I have is that Humpty really wasn't sitting on the wall. After a while, he got bored and he got up and he tried to walk along it. And that's what caused the fall, because he was trying to move. He was trying to get somewhere. And that's a lot of what we experience as we're moving through life. We're trying to walk on the wall, on the razor's edge, so to speak, trying to keep our balance, trying to keep our perspective, trying to do things that are known. The wall is the known. That's another way to look at it. It's solid. It's what's solid in our life, the wall. And so we try to stay on it, keep what's solid. Well, to step off the wall is to step off into the unknown. It's to set out in the adventure. It's to set out in the exploration of new experience. Sitting on the wall, yeah, the wallflowers. They don't want to get up and dance. They're not going to join the party. They're not going to join experience. They're just observing. They're just observing. And how often do we do that? How often do we observe? Look before you leap. How often do we spend a lot more time looking than we need to? I know for me that's been a pattern in this life a lot. The observer, the one watching over on the side. And granted, in hindsight, knowing what I know now, doing what I do now, that observation has served me well. And yet, if there's anything that I still have regret about, it is not the things I've done. It's the things I didn't do. It's the things where I just kept sitting on the wall. And so he has a great fall because he started to move. Whether he was trying to get down off the wall or whether he was trying to move along the wall to find a different perspective, I'm not sure. But either way, he was seeking to change something. And the thing is, every time we seek change, we are cracking our shell. Sometimes we go so far as to think we're cracking up. But we have to crack our shell to get out of it. If we're stepping into something new, then we are the chick or the duckling or the other baby bird trying to break out of that shell to get to the new experience. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. You can't live a life without breaking your shell. Well, you can, but then you're just sitting on the wall, and what kind of a life is it? What kind of a life is it? And so maybe Humpty jumped. Maybe he didn't fall. Maybe he jumped. Maybe he said Geronimo and leapt, or Bonsai, or Karumba, or something. And he just jumped off into space, knowing that the shell was bound to crack, was bound to fracture, was bound to shatter. And yet, that exposed the insides. If you think about it. Now, except for you vegans out there, or those of you who have egg allergies, if you think about it, what's the important part of the egg? The most important part to me is not the shell. I don't cook with shells. I think some people put them in their coffee grinds. Or maybe that's if they're composting. I don't know. Don't drink coffee, so I'm not sure about that. But it's what's on the inside that's needing to come out, that can't come out unless we at least put a hole in the egg. And quite frankly, in many cases, fracture it, shatter it, crack it to open it up. And that's one of the things that, well, we have other phrases for as well. Growing pains. Yes, I know, that's physically, your bones are growing too fast. It's causing tension in your tissues. And that creates growing pains. But it's more than that. When we speak of growing pains, we speak of emotional pains. We speak of the difficulty of dealing with the new situation. And yet, without new situation, there is no growth. There is only sitting on the wall, observing. Being in the same place, remaining in the same place. And so, Humpty's off the wall. Humpty's down at the bottom. All the king's horses and all the king's men. Now, to me, in this fractured fairy tale, this fractured nursery rhyme, all the king's horses and all the king's men, what does that stand for? To me, that stands for the status quo. All the king's horses and all the king's men, they're the ones who enforced the law. They forced the way it's supposed to be, to stay the same. And so I have to wonder why they couldn't put Humpty together again. Is it because he was an egg and you can't put an eggshell back together again? Or is it because Humpty didn't want to be put back together again by them? Because being put back together again by them means going back to the way it was before. Means going back to the way it was before he cracked open and allowed himself out, before he exposed his innards, his guts, his true essence to the world. So, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had enough. Humpty Dumpty moved on. Now, this brings me through the weird, weird lens that is my mind, this brings me to another work that I believe I mentioned, and if I didn't mention, it's good to mention it. A book that I read for the first time a couple of months ago called The Holographic Universe. And one of the images of The Holographic Universe, and it's, if you haven't read it, it's a book I would highly recommend, actually. For me, it did help to shift some perspectives. But one of the things about holograms is that once you have the holographic image created, you can take the material that that image is implanted on and cut it up into as many pieces as you want, as small as you want. And when you do, the same thing that you would do to see the holographic image three-dimensionally, which is you put a beam of light through it, a laser beam. But when you put that laser beam through any of these fragments, you get the whole image. The all is contained in each one of those parts. And that's another piece of this. Pun intended. That's another piece of this Humpty Dumpty story to me, is that just because you couldn't put Humpty together again in that external form doesn't mean that all of Humpty was gone, doesn't mean that he ceased to exist. He's holographic. So pick an eggshell, pick a piece, any piece, and all of Humpty's essence is still there. It's still there. And when we allow ourselves to shatter our lives, when we allow ourselves to leap off the wall or to step off the wall or even to fall off the wall, how many times do spiritual folk, do seekers and finders of metaphysics, how many times do we talk about getting hit upside the head with the spiritual 2x4? Well, to me, those are the times when we're trying so hard to find our balance, we lose it. Or we get distracted from that and we walk into a door or a wall. We have the spiritual awakening seemingly forced upon us rather than as something happening in the way we would consciously choose it to. But it still is awakening. And it still does require, to some sense, in some sense, that shattering of the shell, the shattering of the expected, the shattering of the known. And that, to me, is another piece of this. People talk about soul retrieval. And it's often talked about in geographic terms almost. Go here, go to this country, go to this location, and you'll get a piece of your soul back. And I find that an interesting metaphor, but I don't necessarily buy it literally. Now, I think that there are times when we travel someplace and the particular resonance, the particular energy in that place triggers the awakening into expression again of a particular piece of our soul that we've lost touch with, that we've lost connection to, that is not actively expressing. And some, in psychological terms, would talk about that as the shadow. It's the part of us that we've cut ourselves off from, sometimes consciously, but most often unconsciously, not by choice, but as a tool for survival. And that, to me, is more a more workable description of how soul retrieval works. Because in a literal sense, you can have a pasture divided by a wall, but the wall does not actually stop the pasture from being the pasture. It just interferes with some people moving through the pasture, some people experiencing both sides of the pasture. It's still a pasture on the other side, even if we can't see it. Your soul is still there. It's still connected, even if you can't see it. In fact, that's a big piece of what this whole journey is about down here. We step into the experience of separation. We have that wall that we call the veils. That is the experience of separation from ourselves as divinity, that all of us walking this path are seeking to break through, to break free from, to break out of, to get to the other side, to get to our divinity. That's kind of the purpose of this. And yet, a part of me knows that I don't have to go anywhere to do that. geographically. I do need to go somewhere energetically. And that's into a different expression, a different willingness to experience, a different openness to discovery. And yes, that may lead me out in different paths, doing different things. In fact, that's part of why I set that goal for myself. That's not what I called it. It's not really a goal. I'm not attached to it. But the objective or the desire or the expression to try one new thing a week this entire year, my quest for 2013. And I am happy to report, not because I'm keeping up with that, although I was kind of late. I did one the first week, and then the second week I didn't, although the intention was there. And now I'm up to like 6 or 7 new things, and I haven't been 6 or 7 weeks so far, so I'm ahead of schedule. But I'm not happy because I'm ahead of schedule. I'm happy because of the experience of opening, because of making a choice to open in multiple ways. And it's been, in terms of taking care of myself, one of them, the first one was this supplement that seems to have shifted and improved my hearing, which I didn't realize there was any loss in at all, but definitely have, I wouldn't say it would pass scientific muster because I haven't been tested, but it passes my scientific perspective because it definitely affects the volume that I listen to things on, whether it's on the TV or the computer or the radio. So that opened up because I tried this new thing. And I've tried cooking. I made chili for the first time from scratch, not from a can. And although I will adjust the recipe as I go along or play with other recipes, it was quite a sense of accomplishment to put that together. And for those of you who cook a lot or who are wonderful cooks, that may not make sense. But for me, it was just this tremendous sense of openness that here's this thing that I tended to get out of a can or I ate when other people prepared it, and some of the mystery was taken away. Wow, you just put these things together and then you get that. And it was pretty easy. I must say, it was pretty easy. And that's one of the things for me that I know about myself is that the biggest thing in my way, even though I'm a tremendous optimist at the macro level, at the big picture level, I believe that things will work out for the best no matter how dark it might seem in this moment. At the micro level, I wouldn't call it exactly pessimism in that I have any conscious expectation or even an attitude that it's going to fail or it's not going to work out. But there definitely are still fear programs in there that have caused me to hesitate and to wait and to sit on the wall and to observe more, to check out more of what could go wrong. And I'm finding it freeing to do this, choosing new things. And so while I was in the store getting the ingredients for the chili and also just doing the general shopping for groceries that is part of a requirement of not being a breatharian, of still choosing to eat physical sustenance, I saw something that I love, ricotta cheese. Now, this is something that I know mostly from Italian food. And one of the ways I've had it that I love the most is as an extra topping on pizza, not replacing the other cheeses, but as an extra topping. And so I got ricotta cheese, first of all, to do that with, to put on a pizza, because I love it that way. It's wonderful. But then I thought, well, what else can I do with ricotta cheese? So now I have that as another piece of this new. I'm just going to play with ricotta cheese until it's gone. Trying various things that one can do with ricotta cheese. And I haven't gone to cooks.com or another recipe site yet to play with that, to figure it out. But it's intriguing to me. Now, again, for those of you who know culinary arts better than I, that may seem silly. But it's intriguing to me from the perspective of, here's an ingredient that I know I love in lasagna. I know I love on pizza. I believe it's a main ingredient in cannolis, which I'm not that fond of, but any kind of pastry with cheese in it is not a bad thing. Maybe it's the kind of cheese that goes in cheesecake. I don't know. But here's an ingredient I've never worked with before, and I'm just open to the possibilities. And that, to me, is something I desire to carry into my entire life. Every time I'm starting something new, I desire to carry that energy in there, opening to the possibilities, rather than allowing this hesitation energy, this fear energy, this what could go wrong energy to cause me to hesitate, to sit on the sidelines and just watch. And I would offer that to you and wish that for you. I would wish that for you, in every moment, you could step forward with that kind of openness, with that kind of excitement, with that kind of playful energy of exploration. And I'm certainly not saying it's there in every moment, but it's expanding. And we're less than a month into the new year, and that energy has expanded for me. And believe me, it's not that I'm unwilling to try new things. If I were unwilling to try new things or experience new things, I would not have this program that I share with you guys that we co-create together. I would not be doing channeling or healing work, or I would not have gotten my degree in theater before that and massage. And I would still be teaching English to students who don't want to learn it in some school in rural Missouri. Miserable. And I'm so grateful that I have the degree of willingness to explore that I've always had. But this feels wonderful to expand it. And to see how many places in my life that interference has affected things, where I've hesitated because of fear of outcome. And I look at this as something that I'm seeking to break out of my shell in. That I'm seeking to break out of my shell so that I can just share myself out there. For the sake of sharing, not for anyone else connecting. I always find it wonderfully gratifying when I get those emails from you that share with me how what I've shared with you has connected for you. It is incredibly gratifying. I wouldn't still be doing this if I didn't have the sense that that was happening. And yet, and for those of you who listen carefully, and for those of you who have heard a number of these shows where I've said, you know what, I don't outline these, I don't prepare, I just come in, I've got an idea, I've got a word, I've got a phrase, and that's, we go. That doing these shows is part of me exploring reality. I'm not giving you the pre-canned version of things. I certainly share the spiritual truths that come in as they come in at the higher level, when they come in through channeling, etc. I'm more than happy to share that here. But that's not what this is about. This is about us walking forward together. This is about me choosing to expose that process of how I go about unfolding, how I go about making the new discovery, the new expansion, etc. It's not me giving you the finished product. It's me walking with you, having you walk alongside of me. And as I've said before, and I say every show, or I attempt to anyway, we're co-creating this. That thing at the beginning is a marvelous way to connect energetically. But part of that connection, That's the invocation for this program, even though the words change every week. It's the invocation, opening up my energies to connect with yours so that together, we as a group go through this exploration. Together, we as a group create the flow that brings my words out here. They're not my words, just my words. They're our words. And that in and of itself is a wonderful thing to realize as well. And it goes back to that invocation to a degree as we're opening up to the Mother Earth, to our guides, to this community, to humanity, to the light workers. What are we doing? We're bringing to the forefront connections that are always there. We are always co-creating. That's how it happens. It happens through those energetic connections. Yes, it's wonderful when we do it consciously, when we're choosing it, and things unfold the way we desire them to. But to me, it's also wonderful when they don't unfold the way we desire them to. We may not know it in the moment. That's when we're often likely to be the bitchiest, the most likely to complain or to whine or to throw a pity party. But it's when we fall off the wall, when we shatter, that we have the greatest opportunity in some ways, because we allow a larger portion of ourselves to be exposed than we might normally be willing to do. And again, I always come back to the naming of this program, Exposing the Masters Within. Because the new, the degree it's uncomfortable, the degree it feels like exposure, is because we're not certain that it's all good, so to speak. We're not certain that what's inside of us is all okay. And so we hide it away. The things we hide away the most are the things in the shadow. The things that we try to even hide from ourselves. But to become whole is to bring those into the light. And to get more light, you have to open up. When we open up the blinds or the shades or the drapes in order to allow more light in the house, that's what we're doing. But you know what happens? The first thing that happens, especially for people who try to keep a really neat home, they bring more light in and see more dust. They see the things they need to clean, the things they need to fix. And that's, I think, true for many of us. And that's another reason why this path that we're walking is not so easy to walk. Because we have this experiential background that says we're not good enough in whatever way, we're unworthy in whatever way. And in order to change that, we need to expose the things that we think are unworthy. Maybe not to everybody else, but at least to ourselves. We need to expose those things, or we can't change them. We can't access what we're not aware of. And we can't change in the most profound, lasting, or true way what we can't access, what we can't touch. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to analyze it all. Again, the king's horses and men, I'm sure they stood around and they got out their drawing plans, and they got out all the bandages and tape, and they got out everything they could from that mental arsenal of how to hold things together, of how to keep things the way they've always been. But the thing is, once you start on this path, it's really hard to keep things the way they've always been. If they told a lot of people who are currently on the path at the beginning, if someone had said, you know what, this is going to be difficult, going to be a lot of work. You're going to have to face things about yourself that you don't want to face. You're going to have to look at things you don't want to look at. You're going to have to really open up and see deeply. I'm not sure if I would have chosen to go forward. Because at that point, I didn't have the sense of my value or my worth. And I didn't have the sense of how wonderful empowerment can feel as we step into it to guide me. All I had was enough pain that I couldn't stand things continuing the way they were. And that, to me, is part of how the shadow works. We may try to hide it. We may block it from ourselves. We may not even be aware there is such a thing. But it's continually expressing. And it's expressing through our pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, or even mental pain, although those words don't quite go together. And so the best thing that we can do, as far as I'm concerned, is keep cracking the egg, keep cracking the shell, keep choosing to leap off the wall. And if we shatter, so what? There's another layer inside. There's another shell inside. There's another wall inside until there's not. Until we reach that place where we've exposed all the way down to the yolk. An egg, white light surrounding the golden ray. May you discover your inner egg, and may you know that you are a good egg rather than a rotten egg. Doesn't matter how many times you came in last in the races. And on that note, I will close out that part of today's program. I will jump in here with the small, short commercial for the quickening and the deepening. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. On the 11th, we started the quickening process, and it was quite powerful, quite profound, opening up into the experience of divinity more fully. It will be lasting this entire year, happening each new moon. All the information is on the website. For those many who have signed up for the deepening, which is a private session that goes with each quickening, to take it even further, I will begin scheduling those for this week. So look for the email tonight or tomorrow morning so I can get that information from you about when would work best. And it's not too late to join. The recording is available. The power's in the recording as well as it is live. So if you're interested at all, check out the website, ourearthpass.com, or give me a call or drop an email and we can chat about it. All right, let's do some channeling, everyone. Allow your breathing to deepen, as always, while I do the toning to bring in whoever our extra special guest is for today. And I'll see you on the other side. Hello, dear ones. This is Osiris, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. As we continue the discussion, turning the terminology a little bit, because we are here to help you remember. And yet we are using that term differently than most of you would use it. We are using it in relation to the term dismember. You know what that means, to cut up into pieces, and that is quite pertinent to the mythology of our story. So if you are not familiar with that, go take a look. It will enlighten you. But you are here to remember who you are, to put the pieces back together again in a new form, because you're not remembering what you already know. You're remembering what you have forgotten, and therefore in this life do not yet know experientially. You are remembering that you are everything. You are remembering that you are the things that you judge, and the reason that you judge them is because you are them. You have that potential inside of you, whether you express it or not. And the things you judge the worst are the things you fear the most, are already within you. And so you are here to remember those things. Yes, you're here to remember your divinity and the wonderfulness of that. But divinity includes everything. Divinity includes the polarities. The polarities are not in spite of divinity. They're not separate from divinity. They're experiencing divinity through certain perspectives. And so the more you can choose not to force yourself into the negative polarity, but to let go of the judgment of the negative polarity out of the fear that that is where you belong, the more you can let that go, move through that fear, move through that judgment, get to the other side, the more you can remember your divinity. Because divinity is everything. As was said in the first quickening, God is not good, because God is not just good. Everything that is in divinity. God is not evil, because God is not just evil. But everything you've ever experienced as evil has come out of divinity. The problem, though, is the interpretation, the judgment that calls it evil. It is experience. It is experience that is not what you would label as good. Certainly not something you would choose to step into. And we're not encouraging you to become evil, but we are encouraging you to let go of your judgment of it, to forgive evil wherever you see it, wherever you label it. Because if you do not, you will be drawn toward it, or you will draw it toward you. What you resist persists. So many of those who are light workers on this planet are trying so hard to change the external, trying so hard to change the planet as a whole from a place of judgment of what is wrong with it. It cannot be fixed from there. Not that it is broken. But this planet, your experience of this planet, will not be what you desire it to be until you come into the truth, which is that everything is divine, including that which you do not like. And as you step into a greater experience of your divinity, you step into a greater experience of your power to choose. It is not that your preferences will go away. It is that you will be better able to choose that which you prefer. But you will not be judging that which you do not prefer as wrong or evil. It will simply not be for you. So you are here to remember yourself, but to remember yourself
in the way we speak of it, you must remember, much more than what you typically think of as yourself. You remember that you have the potential for every action that anyone on this planet has ever done. All that which you judge as highest and all that which you judge as lowest. Much of what has charted the course of humanity as to whether one person steps toward the good polarity while another steps toward the bad polarity. Much of what shapes that is the choices each soul has made, coming into which body, which life circumstances at birth, which parents and teachers who do not know their own divinity and so cannot teach it. That which is evil, that which you judge as evil, is simply that which it feels least empowered, which feels the least amount of presence of divinity. So, what do you do, how do you think about those who are least connected to divinity? Will you simply sit in judgment of them? Or will you choose to step into the truth that they are divine in spite of what they have done? And that you are divine in spite of what you have done? And you have been divine in every moment, including the moments when you came to know the worst things that you believe about yourself. So, know, dear ones, that you are loved always, and you are seen for all of you. You may hide your shadow from yourselves, but you cannot hide it from us. And we would say that shadow and light are inextricably linked. You cannot have shadow unless you are standing in light. Step into your light more fully. And eventually, when the light that you are becomes all that you know, the shadow does disappear, not because it has been erased, but because it has been accepted and loved and understood for what it is, and it no longer has the power of the boogeyman to scare you, because it is not outside of you, and you are no longer a victim. Know that you are loved, dear ones, now and always. Namaste. Whew. Okay, thank you, Osiris. And thank you, Dog. And start those chimes up when you're ready. And thank you to each and every one of you for co-creating this with me here today. It is my pleasure to join you in this each week. Or at least each week that I'm here. I wish you a marvelous week. I hope that this year continues to aid you in opening and stepping into your power and knowing yourself ever more fully. And I wish you new experiences that you choose, not just that seem to come to you. All right, my friends. I'll be back same time, same place next week. Many blessings and much love to each and every one of you. Namaste.